Between the bed and the window is an ordinary pine table, covered with a cloth of many colors, but with an expensive toilet mirror on it. The door is on the right, and there is a chest of drawers between the door and the bed. This chest of drawers is also covered by a variegated native cloth, and on it there is a pile of paperback novels, a box of chocolate creams, and a miniature easel on which is a large photograph of an extremely handsome officer, whose lofty bearing and magnetic glance can be felt even from the portrait. The room is lighted by a candle on the chest of drawers, and another on the dressing table with a box of matches beside it. The window is hinged doorwise and stands wide open, folding back to the left. Outside, a pair of wooden shutters, opening outwards, also stand open. On the balcony, a young lady, intensely conscious of the romantic beauty of the night, and of the fact that her own youth and beauty is a part of it, is on the balcony, gazing at the snowy Balkans. She is covered by a long mantle of furs, worth, on a moderate estimate, about three times the furniture of her room. Her reverie is interrupted by her mother, Catherine Petkoff, a woman over 40, imperiously energetic, with magnificent black hair and eyes, who might be a very splendid specimen of the wife of a mountain farmer, but is determined to be a Viennese lady, and to that end wears a fashionable tea gown on all occasions. Catherine. Entering hastily, full of good news. Raina, she pronounces it Raina with the stress on the E. Raina, she goes to the bed, expecting to find Raina there. Why, where? Raina looks into the room. Heavens, child, are you out in the night air instead of in your bed? You'll catch your death. Lauka told me you were asleep. Raina. Coming in. I sent her away. I wanted to be alone. The stars are so beautiful. What is the matter? Catherine. Such news. There has been a battle. Raina. Her eyes dilating. Ah. She throws the cloak on the ottoman and comes eagerly to Catherine in her nightgown, a pretty garment, but evidently the only one she has on. Catherine. A great battle at Slivnica. A victory. And it was won by Sergius. Raina. With a cry of delight. Ah. Rapturously. Oh, mother. Then, with sudden anxiety. Is father safe? Catherine. Of course, he sent me the news. Sergius is the hero of the hour, the idol of the regiment. Raina. Tell me. How was it? Ecstatically. Oh, mother. Raina pulls her mother down on the ottoman, and they kiss one another frantically. Catherine. With surging enthusiasm. You can't guess how splendid it is. A cavalry charge, think of that. He defied our Russian commanders, acted without orders, led a charge on his own responsibility, headed it himself, was the first man to sweep through their guns. Can't you see it, Raina? Our gallant, splendid Bulgarians with their swords and eyes flashing, thundering down like an avalanche and scattering the wretched Serbian dandies like chaff. And you kept Sergius waiting a year before you would be betrothed to him. Oh, if you have a drop of Bulgarian blood in your veins, you will worship him when he comes back. Raina. What will he care for my poor little worship after the acclamations of a whole army of heroes? But no matter, I am so happy, so proud. She rises and walks about excitedly. It proves that all our ideas were real after all. Catherine. Indignantly. Our ideas real. What do you mean? Raina. Our ideas of what Sergius would do, our patriotism, our heroic ideals. Oh, what faithless little creatures girls are. I sometimes used to doubt whether they were anything but dreams. When I buckled on Sergius's sword, he looked so noble. It was treason to think of disillusion or humiliation or failure.